Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. Let's bring in our friend now, Sean Rogers. Sean, how you doing, bud?
I'm all right. I'm hanging in there. How you doing? You gotta forgive my background and whatnot. I'm on spring break, so I'm at the hotel with the kids.
That's all good, man. I told people that when I used to interview you, you always had a little chuckle in your voice when you talked. You always had a great look at those big old choppers. You always had a great big smile. You were one of those guys that was just fun to interview and also fun to watch play football. Congratulations on all your success in the NFL. What are you up to nowadays? Tell people a little bit about your daughter, et cetera.
Well, recently had a birthday yesterday on the 12th, so I'm officially old man gang. Really, I'm just retired, man, just trying to, you know, keep things together, manage life. I got four beautiful kids. My oldest right now, as you mentioned, is committed to SMU for volleyball, so we're definitely excited to have another D1 athlete in the family and somebody pushing and promoting that athleticism forward. Hey, Other than that, like I say, I'm just retired, trying to maintain, man. Just keeping it pushing, keeping it orange.
Football fans want to know if you have any male children, by the way, right now.
Oh, yeah, yes, I do. I have a young son. He's 10. But, you know, he's more into basketball right now. I'm pretty sure as a lot of kids are these days. I think that's okay.
Hey, so Sean, so your younger son's got to be spending time at TJ Ford Academy then, right?
He definitely is. He's definitely been over there a time or two. And my two youngest girls have recently started basketball over there with TJ. So it's great. Him and Tim and the TJ Ford Academy are putting on a good thing, especially in our area in the southwest side of Houston. So he's doing a wonderful thing, and we're definitely participating. So, you know, we're horns stay together.
I got to ask a question, Sean. Let's take you back to your time as a player a little bit. When did you know that you were a special football player? Like, when did you know, hey, I can play at the I've got a memory of watching you do one thing, and I want to bring that up after you talk to me and tell folks, when did you know, hey, this NFL thing, I'm going to be able to do that. I'm going to be able to play football for a long time.
To be honest, My father played professional football. So it kind of was something that I always had in my mind as a youth. I just always just felt like that was my thing. Now, even though I felt that way, my mother made sure my grades were intact and the school was very important and that was a priority, even though naturally and innately that football was my thing. But, you know, that was the carrot to keep me motivated in school and keep me doing right. But to be honest, I mean, it's just one of those things that I felt like I manifested from a youth. Like, that's just something I always wanted to be, and I always envisioned myself at that. Now, you know, that happens for a lot of people. I'm pretty sure that a lot of people always, you know, hey, man, I want to be this. And there always is a time where you say, hey, the rubber meets the road, and or that light switch goes off, and you say, hey, man, this really could be for me. And I guess if you're asking that question and pertaining to the University of Texas, it probably was – I mean, it probably was my freshman year. I remember when I was recruited there, I had a lot of D linemen ahead of me. I mean, we had the strongest man in football at the time.
Chris Akins.
Yeah. Chris Akins. You had Casey Hampton. You had Cedric Woodard. You even had Gray Mosier, Tim Warfield. These guys were, you know, highly recruited coming out of high school. Then you come in my class, you have myself, and you have the great Leonard Davis at the time. A lot of people forget he was a defensive tackle coming into University of Texas, and we shared a room together. So, I mean, coming from a kid from LaPorte, Texas, you know, who hadn't, you know, who was just really naturally gifted, hadn't seen much opposition. As far as in position rooms, it was kind of astounding. I was like, man, this is a lot to be done.
Jerry, you go ahead, bud.
Yeah, so we're going to take some questions too from Texas fans. There's a lot of questions.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, please.
Hey, so here's my question. You were inducted into the Hall of Honor in 2017. And so when you guys grow up, you know, you're dreaming of being an NFL football player, right? And you reach that goal. What did it mean to you to be inducted into the University of Texas Hall of Honor? Because that's not something you really ever think about, right?
Correct. I mean, a lot of times, you know, guys talk about being great and seeing greatness, but you don't, you know, it's more so a feeling and a presence as far as your, you know, what you do on the field and what you do as far as in your field. You know what I'm saying? May it be football, basketball, you know, reporting, anything, you know, you speak of greatness. You don't always see the end game. You kind of say that as tools to perpetuate you and motivate you through your career and what you're doing. So for me, you know, if people know me, they know me and Texas had some rocky moments at times, but for them to come back and allow me the honor to be in the Hall of Honor, I think that spoke volumes about, you know, what some people there thought about me. And it definitely boosts the morale and the love I have for the university, just knowing that I'm going to be a part of that university for a lifetime in that way.
All right. Hey, Sean, I gotta say this. Were you and Leonard Davis actual roommates or suite mates? Please tell me you were suite mates.
Yes, sir. Same room. Yes, sir. We were suite mates. Lucky there for me. You go. At the time that we were still doing suite mates. We didn't have to do roommates at the time, but hey man, we shared a bathroom, and that was an interesting phenomenon. Now, you know, if you ever can think about Jester, if anybody's ever been to Jester, you got to think of Leonard Davis, 6'7", 300, and what was Leonard when he came into college? It was maybe like 310, 10% or 8% body fat. It was ridiculous. Squeezing in this little shower and Jester, you know what I'm saying? We trying to pass by in the bathroom. It's like, yo, man, just let me know when you're done.
Hey, we got Sean Rogers here, Longhorn All-American, Hall of Honor inductee, former long-term. How long did you play in the NFL, Sean? 10?
13
yes, years.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Wow. That's just
really blessed. Really
we've
blessed.
We've got some questions from fans here as well that we're going to get to. Let's start with this one from David Williams. I don't know how much Sean watched Texas this season, but I'd like to know how he compares Tavondre Sweat and Byron Murphy to him and Casey Hamptons. What areas were they stronger/weaker?
I guess let me be nice first. Because I think there's no better duo in Texas history than me and Casey. So
no doubt.
I said, let me be nice first, but then I shoot that out there. But hey, I'm biased. But really, for those guys, I'm very impressed. I'm very impressed. Sweat with his size and athleticism. He's actually a real good technician. He plays well with his hands at the line of scrimmage. He sheds well. He uses his strength well. For his size, he's quite an amazing athlete. He shows great short area burst and quickness. Brian? Yeah, number 90.
Yeah,
I really like him. He kind of reminds me of myself more so. He seems a little bit more raw, but a little bit more snappier off the ball, if you know what I mean. His get off seems a little quicker. He seems more 4-3 oriented. If you understand what I'm saying, why Sweat is, I mean, he could play 4-3, but he's definitely he could be a dominant 3-4 nose in the zero or in the tilt. I think they're better technicians than we were. I mean, the game has evolved so much. They play better with their hands at the line of scrimmage. They, you know what I'm saying, they shed blocks a little bit better. When me and Casey came out, it was just penetration game. It was get off the ball, be 2.5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. We used to call it pump gaps and hit seams. So we were just taking off the ball, trying to be on the other side of the line of scrimmage. When it looks like now, you know, the game and their hybrid front, they kind of play a little two gap sometimes. Sometimes they get the go, but for me, I think they're far better technicians than we are, again, with their hands and hand placement and just understanding the floor of the game. But overall, I just think we were a little bit more impactful, if you know what I'm saying. Like, not that these guys are not impactful, man. These guys are first-round D tackles. I was not. Okay, let's get it clear. So I don't take nothing away from them. But when I say that, I just mean, like, our defense was kind of molded around us. It went as we went. You know, when the front got going and we were going, everything got better. If you kind of understand what I'm saying.
Wait, to your point, Sean, you and Casey combined for 48 tackles for loss one season and over 50 tackles for loss, I think, another season.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Right. So one year I had like 27 myself.
You had 27. Yeah, I was reading over it this morning. You still got it. I love it.
Oh, yeah, man. We all had nicknames, man. My nickname was Mr. TFL. I think Casey was the lobster of love and Sid was the sensational sand crab.
That's awesome. Hey, so talk about that for you and Casey, friends, obviously great friends.
Yes, sir.
Was it competitive for y'all too, though?
Oh, definitely.
Hey, man.
Definitely.
He had 4 TFLs last week. I got to get me 5.
Definitely. That's the way my game was motivated. You know, there were always questions of how hard I worked, but it was one thing about me. I'm an ultimate competitor. I'm not going to let anybody outdo me. So where I lacked in motivation just naturally as a worker, being in that environment, being amongst those kind of dogs and athletes, and then not just Casey Hampton. Again, let's not forget, Cedric Woodard was in the room. Aaron Humphreys was around. Later came, 2 years later or a year later came, Corey Redding. Let's not forget that we had guys that just loved to compete and were athletes. And we took it beyond the field, like from spades to the basketball gym to the weight room, and that type of environment mold and bred just I think it helped breed some really, really strong football players.
Y'all,
Casey to this day, Corey Redding, Cedric Woodard, I'm still in contact with them. We all brothers for life out of that room. Don't forget Marcus Tubbs. We had Mark. I mean, we've just had so many people come through that room in my short time in Texas.
Yeah, y'all were a phenomenally talented team that when you got there, Texas was not necessarily an elite program. You, not only you, but Casey, Ricky Williams, Leonard Davis, guys like that started having not only success in college, but then took that to the program. Mack Brown kind of took that to the next level with the group like Corey Redding that you're mentioning. Then you had the DBs that all came through, and anybody and everybody at Texas. It seems like you guys were recruited by John McAvick's group, right?
Correct. Randy Rogers, if I believe.
Yep. Randy was the guy that recruited you and Leonard Davis in that same class. And Mac actually Bennett, Mike Williams was another one. Big Mike Williams. Yeah.
If you look at that. Now, I don't want to take any credit. I got to go back. When I first came there, I want to say they had just came off the Big 12 championship.
Nice.
I never won a Big 12 championship, so I don't want to. My old guys that I still talk to, who all do I talk to? I call him Black. He was a running back for us with Ricky Williams. Sometimes y'all got to forget.
Sean Mitchell.
I still talk to Sean Mitchell. So Sean is a good friend. So I got to give them their props before I talk to Sean. We was there before you. Again, you got to forgive me. Sometimes I draw blanks. I don't do them every now and then. I can't believe I went to Detroit with him. He was ahead of me. Brian Westbrook.
Yeah.
Big brother. I stayed with him in Detroit when he went, you know, so there were some studs there. I remember my recruiting trip. I think I came to watch them play Notre Dame. And that's when Brian Westbrook hit that guy on the sideline. So let's even go back. Tony Brackens. Like, you know, T. Brackens is an all-time great. He was a guy I looked at coming up. So I know we set the stage for a lot of talent. I don't think we won as much as we should have with the talent that we had at Texas in my years. But it definitely came to fruition later with the talent that came in, you know, the Vince Johns, Roy Williams came in. You know, I was on the tail end of Roy Williams getting there, the legend, Roy Williams. Let me get him right. That whole great class of receivers that came in, man, I can't think of even everybody's name. It's so many guys, and it honestly been so long ago. I don't want to butcher everybody's name. I'll start calling people's first names and different last names. Hey, like, who is that guy?
Hey, Sean, question from Texas fans. Who did you want to beat more, A&M or OU? Or was it just the same?
I think a little bit of A&M more, just because they were in-state, and I ran into those guys. Me and Rocky Bernard knew each other, Baytown-LaPorte rivalry. So, you know, I just knew those guys. You know what I'm saying? A lot of those guys were from Houston or from the area. So it was always a big deal with A&M. And being right down the road, you know, there were certain times we ride down to A&M. You know?
I always had this theory that guys from Houston – feel like it's more Texas A&M rivalry, and guys from Dallas think it's more Texas OU.
I could understand that. Just the proximity.
Yeah.
Just the proximity. You know, it I mean, Houston, we're 45 minutes an hour away from Bryan College Station.
Yep.
What is it? Dallas is what, 4 hours or two and a half? Four hours from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And we both know, we all know, if you're from Texas, Houston and Dallas, we think we are in two different states.
I love it. Hey, Rob, we had another question come in that I think would be great for you to answer. This one from Brendan Bowersox. We really appreciate your time, and I know the people here in the Longhorn community do too.
No, I love it, man. I haven't had an opportunity to talk about these memories in a while, so some of them are coming back, and some of them are a little foggy, but I appreciate the opportunity.
Hey, and by the way, I got to give TJ Ford credit for bringing Sean and I together.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's how Sean and I got connected and got Sean to the show, so thank you to TJ for that.
Yeah, right. TJ, that's my man. He's doing his best. He does his best to keep guys in the loop. I don't think TJ gets enough credit.
I agree.
For what he does for Texas. I mean, I'm talking about across the board with all sports. TJ has been, he's been a sounding board. He's been a role model. He's, you know, he's a Texas advocate through and through. He tries to bring us all together, football, basketball, any group he can get his hands on. So
he's a connector. He's a connector. That's what he is. Sir. Hey, this one from Brendan Bowers. Yeah. What was your, Sean, most enjoyable, best game that you played at Texas, and why?
You know what? Out of all, there's a few games. Now, I have to dig. Kind of the one of them goes back to the first question you asked, what the moment was when I realized, I want to say my freshman year, we had a lot of injuries. Casey got hurt against Rice, tore his knee up. Big Dog, Chris Akins, tore his knee up, I want to say, against Rice. And then they started rotating guys. I just didn't happen to be one of those guys early. I eventually got in Texas OU game my freshman year, made a few plays. And then I kind of started getting looked at as I started seeing opportunities to play. So now come around to, I guess, let's say the second game. Mark, I want to say we were playing my sophomore year. Is it my sophomore year? We're playing Nebraska at home. We're number five. They're number two, I want to say. Or was that my junior year? The next two games are Nebraska games. We beat them one in Nebraska. We came home pandemonium. We ended there like 40-game home win streak. It was pandemonium in Austin when we got back, which I love. Then another Austin next game I can remember, we played Nebraska in UT, game day. I think we were five versus number two.
Yep.
And I kind of balled out that day. I want to say I had like two sacks, a few tackles for a loss.
Yeah,
I had a good day on national. So that was a big game in my memory.
Yeah. So Sean had five TFLs. It's probably where you got your nickname. Five TFLs, seventh most in Texas history of Texas football in a game. Five TFLs in that game, and that one over Nebraska.
Yeah, we had a day.
I got to ask you this question before we let you go here, Sean. Thank you so much again for joining us. You went out to California. Do you remember this for a high school all-star game?
Whoa.
Do you remember that?
You're really making me dig. Yeah, the Caltex game.
Yeah. This is.
Do they even have that anymore?
California. I don't have that anymore.
Not the Shriners, for sure. Yeah. Guys with the little hats and the cars.
It was the Texas-California All-Star Game, and I was doing the TV for it. And so I got to go out to practice and see and visit with all you guys. And one of the funniest things ever was watching Sean Rogers at 300 pounds being asked by his entire team to do a backflip. And you did it. A standing backflip at 300 pounds. You still have that same type of agility, Sean Rogers?
If I did, I don't have the mindset. I'm old now. I'm in my 40s, man. A fall will kill me.
No knees left. John,
you're sir. I tell them I used all my turbos, man. I'm out. I'm here. I'm for motivational purposes only, man. It's just for aesthetics.
Congratulations. Enjoy your spring break. Congratulations to your daughter as well. And her.
I really want to appreciate it. Thank you again. So let me also give a shout out to her. Hey, Kennedy Rogers, thank you. Your dad is very proud of you. I appreciate all you've done. So I just want to give you a shout out. Thank you, baby, for being who you are.
That's awesome. Sean, that's awesome. All right, Sean Rogers.
Thank you very much, Sean. We'll do it again.
Gary, Bobby, thank you for the opportunity. We must do it again.
Yes.
And I promise you, I'm going to drag Hamp on here, man. I'm enjoying going down memory lane. I'm going to drag him on.
I hope it's fun. Take care, buddy.